there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. It's not too early to say that. But a question about what is too early. Who's been listening to Christmas music already? Okay, not everybody's the same. Not everybody's, don't judge each other, okay? Merry Christmas. We love that. As Christian said, we get to start into our Christmas series as we lead into our Christmas Eve services and celebration. We get to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And our hope this year as a church and as a congregation is that we would take a few weeks to really kind of slow down and process one in particular thing this year, and it's who Jesus is. Here's what I love about this series is that's a very profound statement, and at the same time should be a very profound question for all of us. I think it's an important question not only for us to think upon and ask ourselves, who is Jesus? Jesus is, what is he, how is he, who is he? But man, in the very same thread, a great question for yourself. Who are you? Who am I? In light of God's truth, who this God is, what do I believe about God, life, and creation? At the same time, we should ask ourselves, who am I? Who are you? How are you? And we get to take a page, if you will, out of God's story to answer those questions. There's a lot of things, would you agree, that Christmas can be in our lives. Yes, we agree. Thank you. That's why I said that. It could be a multitude of things, right? There could be, shopping, and it could be only on family, and it could be working through the stories that we each have with the pros and the cons and the highs and the lows. And for some of us, it's the greatest time of year because those are positive things. For some of us, it's another version of the hardest time of year because those haven't been positive things. And so in the midst of your journey, wherever you are today, we get to kind of slow down and look at what we believe the God of the universe says about who and how this Jesus is. And as we walk through this process, hopefully that's a question that you get to choose to believe about who God Jesus is and who you are at the same time. So going to be super fun. We're going to work through 4 weeks. Today we get to talk about how we believe, and you get to ask yourself this question, that Jesus is God. And then we'll talk about what does the Bible say about it, how Jesus is indeed God, we believe, through the fulfillment of prophecy, meaning the realization of things that have been claimed and said and promised throughout history, both in the Bible and not in the Bible, about who Jesus is. And then we'll get to talk about how Jesus is Savior, Messiah, the Redeemer, the capital T, Redeemer. And then as always on Christmas Day, we get to talk about how God in the flesh has come to be with us, Emmanuel. So that's our journey as we go into Christmas. I believe we get to kick it off right with this sermon today, asking ourselves and acknowledging, I would say, who Jesus is. So here's the invitation for this message. Very simple, you've already heard it. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Not only in your life, but at Christmas time. Who are you celebrating? Who are you remembering? Who are you acknowledging? How are you going about living your life in such a response that if indeed you believe that Jesus the Christ is God, how are you? Who are you? Why are you? And we get to look at how Jesus is that and hopefully encourage each other to be the same in our own lives. Sound good? Yeah, sound good. Great. Look, we're getting better. I like it. We're going to start out. We're going to do a couple things. It's a very simple and to-the-point message for today. Hopefully shorter than normal, but we're going to go right to the point. And as today goes on in this message, the vast majority of this, I'm just going to read scripture today and allow the Word of God to speak. And for those of us that have placed a faith and belief in God, the Holy Spirit gets to guide and direct and counsel us through the Word. For some of us today, my hope is that this is just a very simple, peaceable, massive encouragement to you. That you'd be reminded about who our God is and how he is and when he's been and what his purpose is, that would be a massive, peaceable encouragement to you today, that you'd be reminded of who God is and who you are in light of your belief. For some of us today, it may be the first time we've heard this, or maybe a long time since we've heard what God says is true. And so I believe that the Word of God's living and active. It's massively powerful and instantaneously influential in your life if you'll hear it and if you want to see it. And this time of year, I believe, gives us a little bit more of an opportunity to embrace that which is true. And so today, we get to read a lot of scripture. We get to see who God says he is and who his son is. And that's it. That's the point. Jesus is, period. And then we'll walk together the rest of the series. Okay? A couple statements that are in your notes there. I want to read as far as what our church believes about God. A statement, if you will, our theology and doctrine. And there's going to be two that we're going to look at just to get right to the point for this message. What we believe the Bible teaches about God and what we believe the Bible teaches about Jesus as God. We believe, I believe, that the Jesus in the Bible is God, period. He is, in all sorts of ways and all sorts of reasons and all sorts of stories and in all sorts of supporting examples, both in the Bible and historically reliable texts outside the Bible show that he is God. Who is he to you today? So here's our statement on our what we believe about God. We believe that God is triune. The statement says we believe that God is self-existent, and by nature he is eternal, meaning always. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere. God is, period, if you will. Always has been, always will be, knows all things, is in all things and through all things, is everywhere all the time. God is, period. Further defined in our statement, God has been eternally existed in three persons. The person of God the Father, God the Son, Jesus the Christ, and through God's Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in agreement and unified with each other's role in the Godhead. Unified. As the rounding of the statement says, we believe these three are co-equal and are one God. It's a fairly traditional Trinitarian definition of who God is. God, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, united in co-equalness and also united in different role. Same value, different role. All God, all separate, all one. Clear as day. Okay? We believe that's true about God. So what's Jesus as God? How does that fit into the definition? Well, our statement, Jesus the Son, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he is God. Jesus is both fully man and fully God. Fully man, fully God. The Son of God and God himself. He's co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, as mentioned, present and participating in creation. When was creation? In the beginning. Okay? Yes. Present and participating. Jesus took on human flesh in the fullness of time. When did Jesus take on flesh? What story in the Bible? The Christmas story. In the fullness of time, Jesus took on flesh so that he could live a sinless human life and offer himself as the perfect sacrifice of sin for all people by dying on the cross. He was raised from the dead after 3 days, victorious over the power of sin and death. He ascended to heaven and is currently seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again, judge the living and the dead, to make all things new. So our position as a church is that Jesus is God, fully man. Not kind of God, sometimes God. Fully God, fully man. It's delineated through the text. Question for you today is, who do you think Jesus is? Why do you think Jesus is? When do you think Jesus is? You could do all the rest, right? Who, how, when, why, where, all the things. Jesus, who is he to you? Not only who is he and how is he and why is he and when is he, but the greater question is, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for your life? Is it just something you think? Is it just head knowledge? Or as we will even see in the Christmas story in the next month or so, is that a truth that changes your life? How you live, what your priority is, how you function when you're wrong, how you function when you're right. Is the truth of the gospel of Jesus, that he is God, how does that change your life? Does it change your life? Who is Jesus to you now and this Christmas? So we're going to look at just a very few, three different concepts to where we believe, I believe, that the Bible teaches Jesus is God. We're going to look at just a little bit about the authors of the Bible. I believe the Bible teaches that Jesus is God. I believe that in the Bible, God actually clearly says that Jesus is God, and Jesus himself says that he is God. Those are three pretty strong statements. And different conversation for a different time. There's a multitude of historically reliable texts that are also evidence that Jesus has claimed and is God. That's the point today. Jesus is, period, God. Let it set the stage for our Christmas season this year. So let's look into the text. And here's our questions, right? Does the Bible teach Jesus is God? I would say yes. When we look at the next question, if so, when and how and who and where does Jesus claim to be God and how is he? Let's pull that out of the scriptures as we look at it today. What kind of a God is Jesus? When was Jesus God? How and who and what things does he say and how does he act? What kind of a God is Jesus in your life? What does the Bible say about it? And as we look through just a few examples today, how does all of creation respond? What different responses are there? How do people respond to the truth that Jesus is God? How many different ways? And then again, the mirror in front of us today is how do I respond? How have I responded? How do I respond today for maybe hearing this for the first time or yet again? How am I going to respond this Christmas? Who is this Jesus to you today? Well, let's jump in. We're going to be in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, 1 through 18, a good healthy portion of the scripture. And again, I'm just going to read it today. I'm just going to read it today and let the word of God do what it does. And I think this is such good news, worthy of be celebrating at Christmas time. John chapter 1, 1 through 18. Who is this Jesus? Well, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's the Word? Jesus is the Word. Later we're going to see it's that Word became flesh. So he was in the beginning. In the beginning was when? It's an easy one. In the beginning. Okay, not just at Christmas, not just in the Gospel New Testament, not just on the cross. In the beginning, Jesus was God. That's what John says. He goes on further. He says, he was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Through who all things were made? Come on, Jesus, the God-man. Through Jesus, all things were made in creation, in the beginning. Always, Jesus has been God. And he's a creator, as is God the Father. He brings about new things. It's through him and, as John continues, right? Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In Jesus, in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It says, there was a man that was sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might what? Believe. See, this Jesus is God. This Jesus has always been. This Jesus is creator in the beginning. And this Jesus who is God is part of God the Father's greater plan, which brings about partners of his creation to prepare the way. People talk about who God is. John is one of many who has prepared the way to say the light is coming into the darkness. See, when people realize that Jesus is God, their lives completely change and they become people who talk about it, who share about it, who prepare the way for people to believe it. As the light of who Jesus is enters into the darkness of all creation and into the darkness of our lives, when we say Jesus is, period, God, we prepare the way. Our life is a testimony. Our stories point to the one who always has been and is and will be yet again to return. John's an example of that. He continues on, he says, he himself was not the light, meaning John wasn't. He came only as a witness to it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. When was that light coming into the world? Christmas. Come on, let's go. Christmas story. Jesus, God coming into creation. Verse 10, he was in the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. We can say Jesus is God. We can read the stories about Jesus being God. He can be the light in the darkness. In fact, it says all things were created through him in the beginning, just bringing repetition to this conversation to let it sit. Yet the world did not recognize it. He made it all and the world didn't see it. Through him, it's held together. The world doesn't see it. He brings light into the darkness. The world doesn't see it. How does creation respond? Sometimes doesn't see it, rejects it, doesn't believe it, doesn't have faith. Sometimes the world does see it, does believe it, does have faith. But the choice is up to you. Do you see it? Do you believe it? Do you reject it? So as the story continues here through John, it says the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. It says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. Emmanuel, praise God, Christmas. As he made his dwelling among us, as we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cried out saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Because Jesus has always been in the beginning and in creation. Although he came after John in the flesh, he was before John in always creation. He cried out saying, this is the one I spoke about. As you mentioned, verse 16 says, out of his fullness, we've received grace in a place of grace already given. It says, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son who is himself, what? God. And is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Man, that's so good. John even says that Jesus is God, period. And the Son is in closest relationship with the Father. And through the Son, God the Father is made known. Who's Jesus to you today? Is he God? Has he always been? Is he present? Is he the light in the darkness? Is he received or rejected by you? Is he creator of all things and is he honored and seen as it? Or is he just a little baby in the manger? Is it a fun story that we watch with Rudolph and, you know, Santa Claus and all this? Is it just a theme? Is it just a tradition? Is it just a time to where we are horrendously selfish and we chase the material possessions of the world that he created and then try to say, it's for him? How do you respond in this season? Who's Jesus to you? If you move forward, we see the same theme in Colossians. Paul writes this a couple different times in the letter to the church. Verse 15 of chapter 1 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He's mimicking what John says. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Mic drop. Jesus is God, through him, for him. Anything that's ever been in existence ever, in the beginning, God as in Jesus is creator. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Does Jesus have the supremacy in your life? In all things, given who Jesus is, does he reign supreme? Is he the head of your heart and your home and your relationships, your finances and your schedule, in your busyness and your brokenness? In your pride and your humility, is Jesus the supreme reason for your life in this season? He continues on. He says, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. Fullness of God dwells in Jesus. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether the things on earth or the things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus is God, yes. When is Jesus God? Yes, always has been. Creation, eternally. We said, why does Jesus do what he does as God? And the last couple of verses here are very powerful. So in the fullness of God, in Jesus, through him, his goal through his life was to reconcile all things. All things in creation. The greatest crown jewel of creation, you. people in humanity the purpose that Jesus has as God is to reconcile. He's all knowing and in everything in your life, your whole story, the things you think, the things you've done, the things you're gonna do. He knows it. He knows it. He knows it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that why he's done the things he's done is because he knows you? That the goal of him being God himself was to reconcile and restore, to bring healing and restoration to humanity. That's who Jesus is. That's what he's done. That's why he chose to do what he's done. Could he chose to do whatever he wants? He's God, right? Yeah. And what does he choose? Getting a little ahead of myself. He chooses in the flesh to come into that which he's created, to be rejected and not even received. Yet he does it for you, should you choose to have that faith and belief, to see that he's the light in your darkness, if you allow him to be. Would you let Jesus be who he is in your life? As he ends here, we can see just in this piece, Paul says that he makes peace through his blood shed on the cross. Why bloodshed? Why on the cross? Why sacrifice? Why humility? Why submission? The text says that Jesus and God is love. True? God is love. The embodiment of who he is and what he's done and what he says is because he loves. Loves you. Loves creation. Loves your family. Loves your coworkers. Loves your strangers. Loves your enemies. And so the fullness expression of who God is, period. God is love. How? Sacrifice. Others focused. A willingness to lay down his own life and deity for love. Because that's the only way we actually really experience it, isn't it, church? Is when somebody loves you when you don't deserve it. When you can't fix it yourself. When you know that you know that you know the things you've done and the things you may do again, that the God of all creation, who always has been through his son Jesus, says, I will come to reconcile you back to what I believe you can be. Would you choose to believe me and believe that? And it's through sacrifice, in submission, in humility, and through his sacrifice of his life, you and creation is working towards wellness and peace that only comes through who God is. Is that your Jesus this Christmas? Is that the story that you believe? Is that the person? Is that the God that you believe in? Or is there a different version that somehow you've chosen to believe? That Jesus has a gavel and he can't wait to remind you of all the ways that you're broken and all the ways that you failed, and you're lucky. You're lucky to worship. You can choose to see it like that. Or you can choose to see that the God of all creation is very serious about what is good and what is bad. And he's taken upon himself every effort to sacrifice himself so that you would choose to believe that what he thinks is good is bad is the same that you think and what is good and bad is. Continued on in Colossians chapter 2, it says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. It says, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He's the head over every power and every authority. Doesn't always feel like that, does it? Doesn't always feel like Jesus over every power. Jesus is the head of every authority. In fact, it feels like the opposite sometimes, huh? Like that Jesus is gone, that he's not in the midst. The question is, how is he over every power and every authority? I believe the Bible teaches that God partners with people in his creation and invites them to be light in the darkness. He gives people a chance to choose to believe. And as John says, and the rest of the Bible says, that there can be light in the darkness and it cannot be seen by some. They won't see it. And so because choice is a part of creation, full love is a choice, not a demand, not a commandment. It's a choice. Jesus chose to lay his life down in love. Will you be a person that chooses to live a life of sacrifice, to choose to be a light in the darkness when you know that some people will reject it? You can see it and feel it, huh? It's dark out there. Jesus doesn't say that the darkness is gone. It says that it won't overcome. And so the choice is ours. that we too may see that Jesus is God, that we would choose to say, I want to follow, and in my belief, I want to be Christ-like. I will choose to be light in the darkness to the best of my ability, and I may get rejected, and I may get hurt. And people may choose darkness all the time, and we can see that, but will I still choose in faith and belief to be like who my Jesus is? Loving, patient, kind, light in the darkness. So we see that that's what the text says. There's a few examples. God says that Jesus is God also. Just in one of many examples in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets in many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Man, that sure is in there a lot, isn't it? Yep, it's true. He says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Verse 6 says, and again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. In speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. Verse 8, but about the Son, he, God the Father, says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and a scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. He says, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. And again, in one of a few situations, God the Father says, Jesus, you are God. Oh God, your God, you are God. So God the Father says, Jesus is God. A lot of the New Testament and Old Testament writers are going to say that Jesus is God. And next week, we're going to talk more about that, how prophecy, Old Testament historical promises of God come to fruition in Jesus, which shows even more that he is God. But what does Jesus say about Jesus? What does Jesus say about Jesus? Do you think Jesus says that Jesus is God? I do. Let's see it. John, again, chapter 8, verse 53 through 59. This is an example of many where Jesus is talking with Pharisees. He's talking with believers, those that have claimed and believe that God is who he is of the Old Testament, God the Father. They're having an interaction with Jesus, and they got questions. Do you ever have questions? Even wholly devoted to God about who Jesus is and how he works? Yeah, come on. These people do too. And so here's an engagement that they have about who is Jesus. Verse 53 of John chapter 8 says, they're asking him, are you greater than our father Abraham? He says, he died, so do the prophets. Abraham, the prophets, they've died. It's been a long time, they said. Who do you think you are? Man, what a good question. We're asking that question today too, right? Who do you think you are? They're asking Jesus, who do you think you are? Both beautiful questions. Who do you think you are, Jesus? He replies, he says, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. Man, I wish I would even believe that myself. I like to glorify me. Not the point. If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim is your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. It's a powerful statement. Do you know who God is? He says, you don't know him, I do. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I don't know him, or I do know him, and I obey his word. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. And they respond by saying, you're not even 50 years old. You're not even 50, they said to him, and you have seen Abraham. How is that possible? Who are you? How can you say that? He goes on, verse 58, says, very truly I tell you, Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. Verse 59 says, at this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself and he slipped away. They want to kill him for saying that. Now, if you've read the Bible before, you've heard some stories, there should be some light bulbs kind of going off. Like, why did they want to kill him for saying before Abraham was, I am? What does that mean? You go, where in the Bible have I heard that before? Where in the Bible have I heard the story of Abraham? Where in the Bible have I heard I am before? Where in the Bible have you heard that? Exodus. Exodus before. Ah, it should take us back to a story about this guy called Moses. The story of Exodus. We see that God partners with people. He chooses individuals to represent him to all of creation. In the Exodus story, he chooses Moses to help God's people be set free from the bondage of life that they find themselves in. And Moses is like you and I. He's faithful, but he's fearful. He believes, but he kind of doesn't. He recognizes his own limitations, but he knows there's a little bit more beyond how he feels about himself and what he can see right before him. He's like us. And so when God calls him to help do his will in the world, Moses says to God, "What am I supposed to say about who I am? Who do I tell him that has sent me? God, how do I describe to people that you're doing this thing in my life? Who am I and who are you? What do I do?" Beautiful question that you are answering today. This is what Moses says. And it's all going to come together here. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What's his name? Who is he? What do I say? What do I tell him?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am. I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you.' And God also said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of who? Abraham, and even Isaac and Jacob, the patriarchs, those that have gone before you, that God has sent me to you.'" Here's the best part. "This is my name when? Always. Eternally. Always has been, always will be. This is who I am. This is what my name is forever. And the name you shall call me from generation to generation." See, in the original context, a little bit more evidence there is that even the language that was used at the time never made a declaration of that which is. It was always like something, described as, kind of like. It was always by association. So the verbiage itself never existed until this moment, to where the God of all creation said, "That which is in all of creation, that which is true, that which is reality, I am that. I am. And I am that I am. And you go tell the world that's what's true." Mic drop. Oh my goodness. Spit out my coffee. What? You've said that? Yeah. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and that's who I am. So fast forward, right? We just went back. Now we're fast forwarding. We can look up, right? To like 10 minutes ago. That's kind of good, right? Let's read John 8 again. Let's read John 8 again. And before we read it again, what's our question? Who is Jesus to you? We see who he is to Moses. We see who he is to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see who he is to all creation. Who is he to you? Read John 8 again. So we're fast forward back to Jesus and says, "Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus says, "Hey, listen, I can glorify myself. My glory comes from the Father. My Father is who you claim to be God. He's the one who glorifies me. You don't know him, I do. Do you know him? Will you see him now? If I did not, it would be like a liar like you, but I do know him and I obey his word. And your father Abraham rejoiced at the seeing of the thought of my day. He saw it and he was glad. 'You're not yet 50, they said to him, and you've seen Abraham. Very truly, I tell you," Jesus said, "before Abraham was, I am. I am he. I am God. I am creator. I am the God of your forefathers. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of Moses. I am the God of all creation. He is me. I am him." That's what the kids like to say, right? He's him. Come on. You get that t-shirt for Christmas. Jesus is him. Amen? He is. Which is why the response of the Pharisees, those that were working on figuring out who God was, that were partnering and doing the will of God but missed it sometimes, as soon as he says, "I am," they're like, "We got to kill him." Right? Because the immediate response to the light and the darkness sometimes is to love darkness more than light, is to allow fear and failure and guilt and shame in the decisions that you've made to overshadow the fact that right before you in your very life, he who always has been, who still is, in everything, knowledge of everything, your story, your details, who is always and ever present right now, right in front of us, we can say no because of the rejection of what comes from our lives rather than that which is true. How do you respond to who Jesus is today? How have you responded? What decision is different that you can make today? How's your Christmas going to be different? And maybe you're reminded, and maybe that's the first time, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus is God. What an amazing thing to celebrate, not only at Christmas, but all the time. But if you're anything like me, and you're anybody like the people in this book right here, sometimes you're going to doubt. Sometimes things are going to get hard, which is why by God's beautiful design, he never intended us to do it alone. He never intended us to be perfect. He just always invites us to return back to him and to believe over and over and over again. Would you choose to see that light that is in the darkness? Would you choose to see that throughout history, God has always been at work? He's always sacrificing for his creation. He always is giving the opportunity for us to have faith and belief and trust. Would we be like the people in creation in the story, and even in the Christmas story that we're going to see in the next few weeks, that when we come face to face with the fact that Jesus is God, that we too would say, God, forgive me for what I've missed. God, thank you for who you are. He is Lord. He is Savior. He is Messiah. He is God. And like Mary says in Luke, therefore, God, may your will be done in my life. May your words be true to my story. And then when we feel like we have to give up life, we actually will find it. I believe the Bible teaches that Jesus is God. I believe that God himself claims that Jesus is God. And Jesus himself says, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is God, amen? All right.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.